You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Ed Alexander.
Hey, oh, look at you. Simone. Morning.
Nothing better than Ed Alexander channeling his cheesy lounge singer, as we like to say. Good morning, Ed.
Hoo-ah! Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm ready. Let's make it a good day, eh?
Are you really ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Just want to make sure. We got a big shoe today.
Yeah.
Now, today is a graduation day for the one of the DeSimones.
Yeah, it is.
So
cool.
And in the world of COVID-19,
yep.
What they're doing is they're spreading out the graduation ceremony over 2 days. 15 children at a time. Oh, sorry, young adults. They're so mature.
We are young adults.
So
you get to go with your friends or just whoever you're
with?
You
only have to bring... Well, I'm going to get to the bonuses of this.
Oh, okay.
Now, the negatives maybe for some people is it limits the amount of guests that can shoe it.
Right.
Right, so that would be four, the student plus four.
What?
Yep. Social distancing.
Wait a minute. So say you have two parents. You might be lucky enough to have two parents and two siblings. Then grandma and grandpa can't come?
No.
What?
Stay home.
Come on.
Now, because we're all going to be in the auditorium. We're all going to be in the auditorium.
Not big enough?
That's...
15
Wait till my report on this tomorrow. I think we're gonna have a few laughs before it's all over. So here's the bonuses of this thing.
Yes. Okay?
The bonuses is one, because it was a sign up situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could actually coordinate with some of your buddies and do it together. And one of the reasons the girl went earlier in the day is she had a better shot of her and her buddies being all together because everyone wants the 5:30 tonight kind of one. So that was successful. So
good.
She gets to do that.
Good.
Number two.
Yes.
It's in the auditorium, which means air conditioned. Instead of everyone being outside on the football field, possibly on a 100-degree night.
Yeah.
We get that.
Okay.
And for me, because first of all, graduations. Now, does anyone really remember too much of their high school graduation?
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I do.
Do you remember what happened after, but do you remember the actual
ceremony?
Definitely
remember what happened after.
Right, but at the ceremony itself, most of us don't remember this stuff.
Kinda. Maybe because it was hot and humid and, yeah.
Boring speeches, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then, so, instead of hearing 374 kids' names get called off.
Yes, yes, yes.
I get to hear 14.
That's a good idea.
Plus my kid.
I see where you're going with this.
So, for me, who can't stand graduation ceremonies overall... This is it. This is beautiful. You know, and then we'll have a nice wing ding after in a little brunch thing.
Now, see, that's nice.
You know, so it'll work out good. Brunch. We're gonna have a bigger function over the weekend.
Okay.
All social distancing will be observed.
Yeah.
So now I know I was talking to a buddy of ours today on the way in, and I told her. I said, I know the lockdown in Tucson's now officially over, spiritually. You know why?
Why? How'd you know?
Because there was an a-hole in a pickup truck who was on my tail.
In a hurry.
The entire way going down La Cañada today.
In a big
hurry. That has not happened since March 15th.
Right?
And you could tell there was zillions of cars in front of me, right? I was going, 47 in a 45. And this guy was an inch off. I was like, we're back. No matter what Queen Rahina says, we're back.
We're back. We are back, folks. Sorry. We're back.
Irish democracy. That's what we said. So we got this today. We're going to have, we got two guests. We have Captain Diana Duffy from TP Day.
Okay.
From the Get to Know TP Day. And she was on last time. She's the one in charge of traffic.
Uh-huh.
She was great. Captain Lane, previously, I know I got a few emails from him trying to come out of his, shy shell a little bit or something, but Diana's great. So Can't wait to talk to Diana at 7. Then after Diana is Tim Sandifer, who will probably get another Pima County Manila envelope from Goldwater Institute, because they actually sent a official letter to the Board of Soups urging it to repeal its proclamation about the new rules on restaurants.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Tim about that. And then I am leaving at 8 to get ready for graduation. So I handpicked, I got to use the current fancy word. I curated.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, wow, man.
I curated the 8 o'clock hour. It is the best 4 food interviews that we did in the last 8 weeks. So you'll have to listen to see who's on there. So if you want to catch up, have a lot of fun and on our stuff with our food, it's coming up at 8 o'clock. You will be hungry as hell when it's all over.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to talk about a number on the graph at the, on the Arizona Department of Health Services site about COVID-19. Can we call up James Earl Jones? You know, he does the This Is CNN. Can we have him do a This Is COVID-19 update or something like that?
This is COVID-19.
Or maybe, we could do? Maybe you record that and then Greg record that and then we mix your voices together.
Ooh. And we add a little of this.
This is COVID-19.
Yeah. Now you're getting it.
Got it.
We're going to play an interview. Gary Davidson gave me a heads up on this. It's an interview with this guy. He's the co-president of Thomas H. Lee Partners, which is the healthcare system, and talking about the kind of the lessons learned from this COVID thing and the state of nursing homes. And Gary thought the guy had some really good facts, and he did. And we'll play this probably after the bottom of the hour news. He talks about all the misery that's going on in the other parts of the medical world and people's health and stuff that kind of people are maybe, kind of forgetting about. We're going to talk about the Queen's extension of the emergency declaration. We're going to talk about, what else do we got today? Oh, we're also going to talk about what does it mean to be safe? What does that mean? Being safe. And there's a great Prager piece on Town Hall. We're going to talk about that. Democrats tell Supreme Court they may impeach Trump again this year.
Oh, so why gotta not? Do that. They got to do something, man. You got to do something. It's only 4 months to the election or something.
We're going to talk about a couple of states. We're going to talk about my boy Bill de Blasio from New York. What else are we going to talk about today? Oh, the some people at the legislature actually might go back to work.
Some.
There's a letter about Michigan hooligans and white privilege in the Arizona Daily Star, and I love that the Star printed it, even though there is an actual factual. It's an error by the writer that if I wrote something with an error, they would never put this letter in. But because it craps on Republicans and stuff like that, it's okay with Sarah.
Sweet Sarah.
They are such frauds over there.
Yeah.
They are such frauds over there. It's amazing. And also one of the things in the House of Representatives they're working on is how do we do a law, make some sort of legislation that protects businesses from corona lawsuits. So that's also very important as we move through.
And your community leaders.
Thank you.
Jeez.
That's a whole other story, as we like to say. It's so funny about the, you got the picture of the priest who's hitting people with his holy water gun.
Yeah.
Right, for social distancing. I was talking to my brother over the weekend, and he was with a friend of his who's a deacon, right? This is before I ever saw this. It's just weird, right? And so the deacon was on the other line with my brother, like on the speakerphone, and he said he just did a baptism, right? And I said, did you use a water gun to baptize this kid from, six and a half feet away? And he explained how they did it in the best way possible, but... And then all of a sudden, this guy
just came up on Sunday or Monday. Yeah,
I hope it was. Sunday,
with his mask and a water gun.
And Ed, just for you, I found this. You can see it on my Facebook page. It hit me. It's so perfect, right? You know this Foghorn Leghorn,
yes.
Huckleberry thing we do.
Yeah,
or I do.
Yeah.
Well, I
can do that. So
they have the title card. You know, for this is my new one for. I found this is an actual title card of a Foghorn cartoon.
All fouled up. That's your Chuckleberry. I'll get you chuckles.
Again, not, I was
it's
just,
true, man.
I was just telling our friend this morning, one of my favorite parts of this Huckleberry, doing this voice, is when someone's in a meeting with Huckleberry, right? It could be a business SALC-er type or a governmento, right? And they text me during the meeting. This is one of my favorite little kicks of doing this show. And they say, I can't take this man seriously anymore because all I hear is your foghorn leghorn voice as he's talking in this meeting. And you got to remember, this is not a literal interpretation of how he speaks. It's a spiritual interpretation of his bluster.
Right.
That's what it is. And that's why it's perfect. And his attitude towards everyone else, that everyone is below him.
Son?
And, yeah.
You're just a child, son. I'll tell you, boy. I'll tell you, boy.
His boy was a boy after him.
Damn it.
I love it. When we come back, let's start with the city of Tucson with Queen Rahina's extension of her whatever she did. And then at the bottom of the hour, a great interview on Mad Money with Jim Cramer and this guy, Thomas Sperling, talking about lessons learned from the COVID-19 pandemic and the state of nursing homes. And he's going to talk about how Florida did it right and maybe New York not so much. So you're on 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. So hold on, I gotta get my sound machine. I gotta get my laugh thing ready to go. So this is K-Gun 9 on your side. K-Gun 9. And this is by the great Brian Brennan.
Okay.
Brennan. And Mayor Romero, this is her tweet on Saturday morning. I love the tweets. I don't know what's going on over there. I mean, it is really the amateur hour at the city of Tucson more than ever, okay? So she says, earlier proclamation by Doug Ducey, Governor Ducey, limits her power to issue orders beyond his, but her emergency declaration extension, this is what I love about this. This is where...
Like she thinks she's important.
This is where the confusion is. I have people inside the city limits who don't know what this means.
No.
Right? Because Doug let the stay-at-home order expire, right? That was Friday. But then they see this from Mayor extends emergency declaration for City of Tucson on the news, and they go, well, what the hell's that?
Right.
So let me tell you.
It's a tweet. It's not like graphs and stuff like the guy.
Or a press conference, right, where she's taking questions, right?
What does that mean, Mayor? I don't know. I have to ask my people.
She is so not confident in her abilities to answer questions. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is a rising superstar in the Western United States Democrat Party is the woman who can't answer questions.
You don't have to know anything. You just have to have feelings.
So, I have all these people who are confused. So, let me tell you what it means. Let's put it in the old DeSimone translator here, right? Here we go. She says, we're extending the emergency proclamation. All right, let's get the machine going. All it means is the city workers are staying home till June 8th. That's it. That's all it means. Everyone else, do what you're doing.
Right.
Follow Doug Ducey. Go responsibly open up your businesses and go make money. Other than that, what Romero says here is bullcrap. I have friends who work at the city of Tucson, and they are telling me that nothing's getting done over there.
Surprise!
Nothing's
surprise.
Getting done. They have employees who say, well, as long as I get to schedule a Zoom or two, then I'm good. And then I'm going to start doing my yacht rock radio guy from XM. I get to stay home and get the footsies up at the pool and drink a margarita. There's a lot of that going on. So here's the line. I want to get a pre-laugh in on this one. Here's a direct quote from our amateur mayor. Quote, It is based on scientific modeling. Sorry. It is based on what scientific modeling has given us. There she is, all science-y. And we're still talking data. About modeling?
Modeling. How many models have been wrong so far?
Don't talk about modeling.
Need to talk about tracing, honey. That's the thing. You know, modeling people, even the dumb people know modeling was wrong and wrong and wrong again.
And so right.
I mean, really, even the people who are like her know modeling screwed us big time.
Yeah, Ed's right. You're so behind on the terminology. The hip kids use tracing now.
Come on.
Here's the best one. The city attorney is being sued. The county's being sued. We talked about that. She goes, but Romero says she does not expect a legal challenge for the city. Well, of course not. All you did was keep the workers home. And of course they got Kozacik saying the governor should have offered more specificity. The county did. We signed on to it. I don't think that justifies any kind of litigation. Steve, go sing your stupid song.
Just you wait.
Loser.
Thank you.
Now, here we go. What are we finding out more and more? I have a friend of mine who works in City Hall, and he said, we're really finding out that 60% of the workers at City Hall, no one's missing. This is not the cops. This is not the fire. This is not the roads guys or girls. I don't want to be sexist. I don't want Amber. There's road girls too, Amber. Right. Don't get on my. I'm not a misogynist on road guys. Girls. Oh, God, I said it again. Hold on. Let me get a scream for Amber for me saying road guys. Okay. Now, 60% of these people aren't really being missed. And this is what you got to be. This is what the scary part of this, everyone getting trapped in their homes for 8 weeks, is people are finding out who's being missed and who's not being missed. And I'm just telling you, in your life right now as city residents, okay, does the lack of the city workers not really working, has it affected your life that much? Other than the cops. Again, the stuff that DeSimone keeps talking about, right? The parks, cops, and roads people. I need more of that going on, right? But what we're finding is, I can't say, I'm going to get in trouble for this too, so I better do it. White collar workers. I said white, sorry. The white collar workers at City Hall, I don't know if they're missed that much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's going to, but of course, that's the first thing that we got. You got to keep the bureaucracy going.
Of course. Of course.
That's what Tucson's, one of the lessons Tucson has learned is we don't need at least 50% of the Pima County and city of Tucson white collar workers. Sorry. That's where we're at.
And your biggest employers are the government, Raytheon, and the U of A.
And the U of A's government.
Oops.
6:29 in the morning. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. So what's hilarious is we had people sending me this thing about the $800,000 electric buses we're going to get, right?
$800,000, over $750,000 for a stinking bus that two people ride.
Now, no one
tell.
No, keep Dolby going. Don't tell her that a lot of electricity generation comes from coal.
There's a lot of copper in that bus, honey.
Oh,
$800,000 bus. What? So you can stand in front of it and get your picture taken?
But here's the thing. With social distancing, we can only get three people on one bus at a time.
Well, it's half of what they usually have, so what the hell?
Oh!
Tell me when you see anybody on a bus.
This is it. This is our official. Anytime there's a Rahina song, I'm putting this on you right now, Ed. Okay. Whenever we do a Rahina story, this is what we play. Because she's so deep on the science.
Science. Is there any tree? Did you put a tree on that bus yet? Come on, girl. Come on.
Heavens, Mr. Demento.
Who knew we were going to hear? We put a tree on that bus. We knew that. We have to pay Thomas Dolby a bunch of money for this segment. So, Gary Davidson, the bond killer, as we call him, we love Gary, love having him on the show, and he sent me this story. He's like, man, you got to check out this interview with this guy Scott Sperling with Kramer from Mad Money. Kramer from Seinfeld.
Okay.
Not Kramer from Seinfeld. He's the chairman of Mass General Hospital System in Boston. Was interviewed this evening by Kramer. Great practical information about what's really going on in hospitals, healthcare, and the coronavirus. Practical advice on how we should proceed. Excellent facts and figures about how much better the hospitals are now in dealing with the virus. New York versus Florida, etc. I think you'll really like it. He does have skin in the game, being in the hospital business, but that doesn't change the facts he presents. So let's go right to it. This is Jim Cramer on Mad Money with Scott Sperling from Tom's H. Lee Partners, co-president. Let's go.
Mad Money!
Full market.
For the first time
market.
I can remember, we're having a healthcare recession. In order to deal with the pandemic, hospitals suspended all sorts of non-emergency procedures. That's a problem if you need knee replacement, and it's a potentially existential problem for the hospitals because these surgeries are how they really make their money. Hospitals have been working overtime to beat this virus, and in the process, well, they're losing fortunes when they're doing it. But now that it's looking for like our healthcare system won't be overwhelmed, what do they need to do to bring back these procedures? What's the safe way for hospitals to go back to something closer to normal? I want to hear from an expert, which is why I'm thrilled to have Scott Sperling. He's the co-president of Thomas H. Lee Partners, and more key to us today in this crisis, the chairman of Massachusetts General Brigham, which happens to own one of the most important hospitals in the country. Mr. Sperling, welcome back to Mad Money.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, so Scott, fill me in. We bent the curve so we wouldn't be overwhelmed. It looks like that's been accomplished. We have a huge number of empty, I guess, ICUs all over the country. At the same time, the hospitals are bleeding from the eyeballs for cash. What are we supposed to do?
You're exactly right. So let me give you a couple of small data points. At the peak, we had built capacity. We had more than doubled our ICU capacity to handle COVID-19 patients that needed high acuity care. Every one of them had ventilators, so we had almost 900 such ICU beds. We utilized at the very peak about 70 to 75%. We never got close to 100%. So we had the capacity to handle what was the largest surge that we had imagined. We are currently only utilizing about 33% of that peak capacity. So we've been able to take some things down. But to your point, the net result of the success that we've had addressing the truly great need of COVID-19 patients has been that we have lots and lots of other patients who have had delayed procedures that we may call elective, but to them it creates significant pain and potentially very expensive and longer lasting complications. So I will give you, some sense of that. We have seen a 30% reduction in cancer diagnoses. It's not because there's less cancer. It's because people aren't coming in with the symptoms.
Amazing.
We haven't had that. We have not been able to do the surgeries on things such as significant orthopedic procedures or even brain surgeries that often can be delayed but do cause significant pain and suffering for patients. The result is not only the economic crisis for the healthcare system that you mentioned, but it is a truly worrisome national healthcare crisis for so many patients of so many different age categories. We've done a remarkable job, and when I say we, it's not me, but it's our caregivers. It's the individuals who are running our system. It's the Ann Kolbanskis, who's the CEO of Mass General Brigham, and the Peter Slavins, the president of Mass General, and Betsy Nabel, the president of the Brigham, and Ron Walls, and so many other people, Greg Myers of the world, the Tim Ferrisses. These are people in our system who have done a remarkable job at trying to make sure that we can improve the outcomes for the COVID patients. And that's something that we've done quite well.
Well, Scott, why don't you talk about that for a sec? Because I think that your outcomes, it varies so much from state to state, Other states, people listening to you will know that you guys figured out a lot of stuff that they should figure out.
So, you know, for the most vulnerable group over age 80, in March, half of those people were not able to survive. Today, 75% of them are able to survive based on what we know to do with these patients. We know much better when to use respirators, how to use them. We know how to treat the kidney disease that has come around with this. Things like remdesivir, which, you know, the early indications are very strong. We've seen all of that. We do know that given the nature of how it works, which is to stop replication of the virus, the earlier you use it, the more powerful the impact could potentially be, and so we're going to see that. We've taken the MedSurg patients who have COVID-19 down from 6 days of staying in the hospital to four. We've taken the ICU patients from 14 days to 10, and again, we're seeing much better outcomes.
What do you think about
better prepared to deal with whatever comes next, whether it's another surge or more likely a chronic level of patients at a much lower level, but that will last until we have a vaccine.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about, because you see, I see all these pictures this weekend about the bars with big lines and the packed beaches. I mean, to me, look, you're chairman of a great hospital system. Is that a nightmare waiting to happen, or are we just in the Northeast just too cloistered?
Look, you've seen wide variation. So, for example, New York had over 1,400 deaths per million, right, and Florida had 82.
Wow.
I know people were critical of Governor DeSantis in Florida, but one of the things that he did that was so smart that I think, you know, he may have done better than, for example, New York, is he targeted a population where you can isolate and protect them. So much more aggressive at making sure nursing homes, no visitors, everybody gets tested who's a caregiver. So we really need to learn lessons from this, that we can look at the most vulnerable populations where the death rates are dramatically higher and deal with those. In the middle, we should use common sense.
Right.
You know, it's low cost to wear a mask. It's low cost to keep 6 to 7 feet away from somebody else. You can go to an outdoor stadium and hopefully, you know, not be too close to people. Probably not crowd back into an indoor venue right, at any point in the near future. So there's a number of things that we can do that are common sense, that are low cost, that will help us as we manage through this. And again, keep in mind that, as you know, flattening the curve is about spreading this out. It's not about eliminating the eventual number. It's about spreading it out so the healthcare system can deal with it. But as I mentioned, the thing that people have to understand is the healthcare system has so much more capacity and capability to deal with this. Now what we have to make sure is the healthcare system itself doesn't die. And to your point, if you look at the financial situation, community hospitals all through Massachusetts are on the verge of not being able to make payroll. Our own system is losing billions of dollars. So, you know, we need to make sure that we have the ability to take care of the people who need our help and who depend upon us. So there's a financial element. But as I said before, you know, more importantly to our people, it's taking care of the 30-year-old who doesn't have COVID-19 but who has a serious ailment, who has a serious neurological issue, who has diabetes. We have a huge spike in the number of amputations. And the reason for that is people with diabetic infections of some sort are not coming into the system. Those are not things that we've been able to deal with. And we need to get back to dealing with that. And it's so important that we recognize we have the capabilities. It's time for us to get back to helping all of the people of this country.
All right, Scott, it's always great to have you. You have more insight than anyone else we have on this situation. Scott Sperling is the chairman of MassGen Brigham. And boy, I'll tell you, he really understands what the hell's going on. Also, of course, co-president.
All right, here we go. So just a couple of notes as Scott was talking with Kramer. He talked about when they hit, like, they're at 30 of I guess, national capacity on, you know, I think the intensive care point, we're still only using 33% of capacity, which is, remember, flatten the curve, mission accomplished. When you put that and you say, oh, we accomplished that mission, and your friends go, bull crap. Yeah, that's true. It's what we did. That's what they asked us to do. The other one, we talked about how there's a 30% reduction in cancer diagnoses going on right now because of people shutting down these elective surgeries. There's so many things here in relation to, you know, words that don't mean anything. Like, you know, like misnaming things like elective surgery. Mm. They're making it sound like you're getting a breast augmentation or something like that with elective surgery. They got to figure something else out than that. You talked about how brain surgeries are not getting done, which is causing undue pain and suffering.
It's ridiculous.
Right? Talked about how they're reducing, especially in these hot spots, the hospitalization days are now about 4 days for hospitalization for corona. I think that's pretty encouraging, right? And then he talked about New York versus Florida. Mm. So Florida actually has more people in it, and they have a larger percentage of seniors. All right? New York, check these numbers out. So remember, Governor DeSantis caught hell for opening up his state. Hell. From the press, the jackasses at CNN, NBC, MSNBC, all that stuff. Democrats, all that stuff, right? How many of your Dem friends on Facebook, when they had like the pictures of the people on the beach, enjoy the sun and die? Remember all that jazz? Remember those classy folks?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Go enjoy those beaches at Jacksonville and go die, right? Maybe we can flip Florida for Biden or some jackass stuff like that, right? So here's the numbers from Scott Sperling. New York is 1,400 deaths per million population. Florida, 82. That's a hell of a disparity. And he talked about Governor DeSantis was pretty good at locking down nursing homes quick, and also travel from New York and New Orleans. The Louisiana area was something else that he shut down on. So let's go to break. 6:48. I'll get to a phone calls when I get back. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, Diana Duffy from TPD coming up at the top of the hour. And then Tim Sandifer from Goldwater Institute about the letter, a Dear Chuck, Sharon, Ramon, and Betty letter that they sent to them about their some of their stupid things that they put in the health code.
Imagine that.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk, where scientific modeling makes us determine everything we do on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So
movie theaters, yeah.
We have two bathrooms here that I can use at the Palatial Studios.
Dog groomers.
And based on the scientific modeling that I've been seeing, I might use the one in the back room today.
See?
This is what we do today. So, remember, we got Diana Duffy coming up, captain of TPD on traffic. She's been before. She's great. And then we have Tim Sandifer from Goldwater about the love letter he sent to the Pima County Board of Supes, especially the ones with the D's behind their names. And then 8 o'clock hour, I got a skedaddle for graduation stuff. We're going to do a best of food interviews in the third hour. So, it'll be very fun. Let's go to Barney on line 77 today. Ooh. Barney, what's up?
Oh, cool. I got the lucky line today.
It's true.
Yes. Hey, a quick comment about the reduction in cancer diagnosis.
Yes.
There's a reduction in diagnosis of everything in the last couple of months because they are switching as many diagnoses over to COVID, or the China virus, I prefer to say,
yes,
for multiple reasons, including financial. So that is a skewed bit of quote-unquote science. And what I really liked, and what I called on as an earlier segment, where we mentioned how 60% of the personnel at the city are not being missed. I had a piece in Town Hall a couple of weeks ago titled "Non-Essential Workers, Most Are in Government." So,
surprise!
You think I'm too low or too high?
You know what? I suspect you've nailed it because, you know, you were saying, I don't know, listen, you can take either number, 60 or 40, but the thing is, it's real clear that we would not miss a dramatic reduction in government personnel But the real pisser on this, and I have it in my article, Barney Brenner at townhall.com. Search it. I got a lot of, you know, a lot of good articles there. Shameless plug, which I know you don't mind. But it's the last one, and I think it's a good. As a matter of fact, I got a rare, well done comment via email.
Right.
On it from Dennis Prager.
Look at that. Look at you.
That really made my day.
Well, but Barney, I when you first wrote it, I liked it.
Thank you. The thing that kills me on all of this, though, is that these same damn government workers are all collecting their paychecks while they're telling us to stay home as non-essential, and we're the ones funding them.
Again, I'm telling you, like Rahina, she can tweet from the basement all day long. She's got three good paychecks coming in. Mayor, biological diversity paycheck, and Ruben's federal paycheck. So she's got to be clearing $200 to $250 a year while she's telling everyone, keep your business closed, and you know, maybe you'll be back in another 5 years. So
it's kind of it's a secret wish, but and it does depend on Donald Trump's reelection. But after he doesn't have to face the voters anymore, I'm hoping for a free fire zone and government worker payrolls slashed hugely. And this tells us not only that most of the workers in government are not missed and we should save some money there, but the schools now, the universities who, you know, foolishly, for their own well-being, embraced learning online, we've now learned that these six-figure tuitions at some college can be replaced with a video.
Right. I mean, again, this is, remember, I what's my phrase I've called universities for the last several years? Academic resorts, right? And they're going to get hurt just like the regular resort that doesn't want people to pay a lot of money to go there. That's where we're at.
Oh, we can only hope, my friend.
Hey, Barney, one holiday I want to do wish you today. You're going to love this. Ed, I want you to pay it. This is a huge holiday. You ready? Believe it or not, May 19th is Celebrate Your Elected Officials Day.
Like to throw one word in there.
Go quick.
And it has to do with our local government.
Yes.
Celebrate your future elected official.
Thank you very much. Barney, thanks for the call.
All right, guys.
Have a good day.
You bet. We'll see ya.
So I want to get through a few of these. I've been finding these fun memes about graduation. I'm going to just share some pearls of wisdoms for you, right? It's a picture of the girls celebrating at their college graduation. It says, congratulations on getting through the easiest part of your life. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's the picture of the, you know, the Back East University with the impressive building. It says, university makes you pay $100,000 to get your degree, begs for donations after graduating. Then they have a picture of a very angry Samuel Jackson from Pulp Fiction, and he says, Ask me what I'm doing after graduation one more time. The what was the other one I had for today? There was one more I wanted to get you. Graduation statuses. Oh, we did that one. Anyway, it said, that was not the easiest part of my life. She says, I had calculus. Calculus, that's pretty good. So anyway, 6:59 in the morning, Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, Captain Diana Duffy from Tucson Police Department. She was on a few months ago. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world of traffic in the city of Tucson.